Welcome. I'm Ethan Elkind, and this is Your Calls Media Roundtable. Later in the program, we'll discuss a new New York Times report on the alarming rise of long-term unemployment among college graduates. But first, we're going to look at the growing wave of attacks on the freedom of the press and speech in the aftermath of the tragic killing of the far-right activist Charlie Kirk, who is a co-founder of Turning Point USA, a key youth recruitment arm of the MAGA movement. According to The Nation's Elizabeth Spears, Kirk was able to launch Turning Point at the age of 18 because he received money from Tea Party member Bill Montgomery, right-wing donor Foster Fries, and his own father, also a prolific right-wing donor. Now, the reactions to Charlie Kirk's killing have put the First Amendment in the crosshairs of the GOP and its MAGA base. Teachers, professors, people from all walks of life have been fired from their jobs or investigated for critical posts on social media. A couple of days ago, late-night talk show host Jimmy Kimmel became the public face of the organized attack on freedom of speech after ABC announced it would indefinitely suspend him. And yesterday, an immigration judge who works for the Justice Department ordered the deportation of the Palestinian activist Mahmoud Khalil to Algeria or Syria. So to discuss the alarm over Trump's attacks on media and freedom of expression and the takeover of broadcast companies by Trump-aligned allies, we are joined by Craig Aaron, president and CEO of Free Press and the Free Press Action Fund, which are devoted to changing media and technology policy, promoting the public interest, and strengthening democracy. Good to have you back on the show, Craig.
Oh, well, thanks so much for having me. I feel like I need to clarify I'm not with the Free Press, which borrowed my name, but not my approach to the world of media and democracy.
Yes, I'm glad you clarified that. So the other Free Press, of course, being Barry Weiss's The Free Press, and we'll talk about that on the show, but good to put that out there up front. So, Craig, the Trump administration has been using almost every lever of power they have to go after their critics, from immigrants to the media, law firms to pro-Palestine university protesters. They've been deploying the National Guard to major cities. And now it seems like they're using the tragic killing of Charlie Kirk to really take an all-out approach to assaulting the First Amendment and freedom of speech for people and those in the media. I wanted to just begin by asking you, how concerned are you about what's happening right now? And do you think that we're at a turning point?
Well, I mean, I'm incredibly, incredibly concerned. I think these are very, very dark days. And I'll talk a little bit later maybe about why I'm still hopeful, but for all the reasons you said, for the interconnection, Ethan, of everything that you laid out there, recognizing the connection between the attacks on student protesters, the kidnapping of people for simply writing an op-ed, all the way up to this cancellation of Jimmy Kimmel. These are interconnected problems, and we need to think about them in that way, I think.
And let's talk about Jimmy Kimmel. I think it was quite revealing in terms of seeing how a major corporate media outfit is apparently submitting to government pressure, because we know that there is FCC approval in the works here for of ABC's moves. And the FCC chairman appointed by Trump, Brendan Carr, said in an interview with right-wing podcaster Benny Johnson, I'm quoting, "We can do this the easy way or the hard way. These companies can find ways to change conduct and take actions on Kimmel, or there's going to be additional work for the FCC ahead." So what do you make of the role of Brendan Carr and the FCC here? What's your take on what's happening here and why Jimmy Kimmel was suspended?
Well, these are the words not of an independent regulator, but of a shakedown artist, of a mob boss. You know, those are nice TV licenses you got there. Too bad if something happened to them. That's the way Brendan Carr has been operating the FCC, despite for years bemoaning any government questions about the media. He now is absolutely getting involved in newsroom decisions, creating this pressure. And we saw an immediate response, maybe a coordinated response between Brendan Carr's statement, and then all of a sudden, here comes Nexstar, the nation's largest owner of local television stations, announcing they were going to preempt, cancel Kimmel. They happen to have a $6 billion merger that's very much illegal under current regulations, pending before the FCC. suddenly they got a lot to say about Jimmy Kimmel. Here comes Sinclair Broadcasting, the second largest broadcaster, already a propaganda arm of the Trump administration. They come in and say they're not going to air Jimmy Kimmel. Maybe they'd reconsider it if he made a meaningful personal donation to Charlie Kirk's political organization. And these are the people who control our local television stations. That ends up ramping up the pressure on ABC, arguably, though we'd like to think that these deep-pocketed companies would actually push back and fight back. But as you suggest, they have their own deals or their own future deals that they can imagine. So instead of standing for their own employee, their own workers, their own newsrooms, they just keep folding, bending the knee, capitulating again. So we have this incredible cowardice from corporate media, unwilling to stand up to Trump, maybe because they're ideologically aligned, maybe because they think that's the cost of doing business. But the result is just an incredible attack on free speech, on free expression, on press freedom. And the companies who you thought you could at least count to defend themselves, whether it's ABC, CBS, MSNBC, are showing time and again that instead they're actually folding to the demands of the Trump administration. If we've learned anything from watching the Trump administration, it's that if you roll over, they just keep coming and asking for more. So the same company that tried to bribe or settle a lawsuit with Donald Trump back in December, last December, over some very specious charges or the lawsuit related to George Stephanopoulos, now finds itself, Disney ABC this is, now finds itself in the crosshairs again. And again, they fold and cave, and for no real reason. Jimmy Kimmel did not say anything that should result in him being taken off the air. And he was literally commenting on the exploitation of Charlie Kirk's murder. And here come the Republicans exploiting it. And yet ABC rolls over, goes away, does their bidding. And that makes it so much harder for people who don't have those resources, who aren't famous like Jimmy Kimmel, to fight back.
And of course, it's not just ABC. We saw former MSNBC analyst Matthew Dowd also fired because after Kirk was shot, this is a conservative commentator, Matthew Dowd,
that's right,
a Republican, George W.
That's
Bush.
Right.
He said hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which then lead to hateful actions. He was terminated. And then this week, columnist Karen Attia from The Washington Post was also fired after she said she refused to engage in, quote, performative mourning for a white man that espoused violence without explicitly mentioning the firing was not explicitly mentioning Kirk as one of the reasons for his sacking. But it seems pretty clear there. So this is beyond ABC. What's your take on why these other companies are also, you know, preemptively surrendering and firing people over, you know, pretty mundane takes in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah, again, I think they've decided this is how you curry favor with the Trump administration. This is how you demonstrate your loyalty. This is how you try to get them to look at somebody else, go after your competition instead of you. But there's also ideological alignment here. I mean, that's clear with Jeff Bezos, who is very quickly ruining the Washington Post. Not a perfect newspaper, but once a great newspaper, which now has no full-time Black columnists in the city of Washington, D.C. Unbelievable. But Karen was the last one. She's now out for, again, really doing nothing, essentially quoting things Charlie Kirk said when he was alive. And again, they're prioritizing their business deals. Jeff Bezos does an immense amount of business with the federal government, with space exploration and defense and data, far more than he's investing in his hobby over at the Washington Post. And this is the problem of a billionaire-controlled media system. This is a problem of a purely profit-driven media system, is for all the times they've tried to wrap themselves in the flag and the First Amendment, ultimately the people running these companies only care about the bottom line, or in some cases, they're just ideologically aligned with the Trump administration. So I think it's a mix of both, but I think it's laying bare for everyone that we simply cannot trust and count on the corporate media, which of course many of us have been critics of for a long time, but even the sharpest critics of the media, I don't think expected to see this. I don't think expected to see this level of capitulation and cowardice and unwillingness to stand up for the most basic principles, to oppose the most specious lawsuits, to recognize a shakedown and a scam when they're looking at it. I mean, I can go back and collect the op-eds from all the time someone at the FCC tried to get a local television station to, you know, do a local hearing or consider its public interest obligations. And these companies would throw every $1,000 lawyer in Washington, D.C. at the most milquetoast reform proposals. And yet here comes Brendan Carr. All he needs to do is whisper threats on an extremist right-wing podcast. And suddenly these major powerful companies are folding. So in some ways they're in on it, but that doesn't change the awfulness of these decisions and just how much they're abandoning the talented creatives and the hardworking journalists who still do work in a lot of these places and now know they don't have their back at all.
We're speaking with Craig Aaron, president and CEO of Free Press and the Free Press Action Fund, which are both devoted to changing media and technology policy, promoting the public interest, and strengthening democracy. You're listening to Your Call. This is our media roundtable, and I'm Ethan Elkind, your host. And I'm opening up the phone lines now. Are you concerned about what's happening with these attacks on free speech? Are you changing what you're posting on social media? Or are you changing what you're listening to, who you're listening to? Are you canceling your subscription to Disney? Stop watching ABC in response to the suspension of Jimmy Kimmel. We'd love to hear from you what actions you're taking, what you're thinking about this issue. The number to call to join the conversation is 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. You can also send us an email to yourcall@kalw.org. Well, Craig, let's talk about Barry Weiss, the Free Press, not your Free Press. We know that there are talks going on with Barry Weiss, who's the founder of the Free Press, that she may become involved in CBS News, as that company is now under ownership of the Ellison family. Can you talk about what's happening there? Maybe inform those listeners who aren't familiar with Barry Weiss, inform them about, you know, who Barry Weiss is and what this could mean.
So Barry Weiss is a journalist of sorts who used to work at the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal and then the New York Times, and who very publicly quit her job at the New York Times, essentially complaining about the rise of so-called woke culture, claiming that the New York Times was anti-Israel, and using that as a launching pad to start her own project called, unfortunately for me, The Free Press, which has presented itself as sort of a center-right sort of, they would claim, heterodox arguments, very concerned about, at one point, wrapping themselves as people who are very concerned about free speech, though they seem largely unconcerned, although I think they did write an editorial about Jimmy Kimmel, largely unconcerned with the huge attack that Donald Trump presents to free speech, and especially the role that these billionaire media owners and oligarchs play for free speech. Barry Weiss is someone who's kind of perfected the ability of kissing up to power, of telling these rich billionaires like Marc Andreessen and Larry Ellison and his son David Ellison, who's now running CBS, what they want to hear. And she has leveraged that, essentially leveraged a Substack newsletter into allegedly a media property worth, they're saying, $100 or $150 million. And as David Ellison and Larry Ellison took over CBS in a controversial deal we can talk about, they indicated that they would have a role for Barry Weiss in their new company as sort of this representative of someone waging war on woke culture and all the rest. They've also been one of the leading groups pushing essentially for the defunding of public media by giving voice to a bunch of specious claims from a disgruntled former NPR employee, and done a lot of other things to essentially wrap this, you know, pro-corporate media agenda give it sort of an intellectual surface level. And that's who Barry is. And she's been very successful at leveraging that and becoming the kind of person who gets invited to dine with media moguls. And in exchange for the merger that CBS was recently acquired by Skydance, which is Larry Ellison's, who founded Oracle, his son's operation. And essentially to get that deal done, they had to do a bunch of things, including probably firing Stephen Colbert or taking his show off the air for budget reasons, as they would claim. They had to install an ombudsperson, a nanny, not someone to represent the public, but someone to look out at CBS for problems related to conservative bias. So they hired a Trumper to do that. And now they're bringing in Barry Weiss, potentially, buying her property and bringing in her to help shape this division of CBS News. Once the pride of CBS, 60 Minutes, Walter Cronkite, Dan Rather, the leadership of 60 Minutes has already quit because of the being sold out by management. A lot of other people have left at the newsroom. And now they're replacing them potentially with Barry Weiss and what she represents, which is very dangerous. And even more dangerous if you read the trades, where it's suggested that the Ellisons, having acquired CBS, are now very interested in Warner Brothers Discovery, which would also give them control of CNN.
And so are we likely to have sort of another Fox News in terms of what CBS is going to become? Like, how will Barry Weiss be able to influence decisions at CBS?
I don't think we totally know yet. It depends how much power they give her. But it's very clear that, you know, David Ellison, Larry Ellison, who have been, you know, very solicitous of the Trump administration. You can look, though I don't totally encourage it, you can look at the content of the Free Press and you'll find, you know, a lot of hand waving at the kind of threats we're talking about posed by the Trump administration. You know, the kidnapping of activists, the going after people for their free speech because they advocated for Palestinian liberation, et cetera. That's something that's sort of been a specialty of the Free Press. They're going to go after public support for media, of course, and things like that. So I think if you put Barry Weiss in charge, you're going to get more of that. Does that mean every reporter at CBS is going to lose their jobs? I have no idea. But the trend lines are very, very bad because these are people who have said, you know, we will do anything to amass power and we are willing to twist the coverage and do things like settle a lawsuit with Donald Trump personally, paying him $16 million because he thinks 60 Minutes unfairly edited an interview with Kamala Harris, which is a normal thing that journalists do. They edit interviews, they cut them down. They pick the spots that are most interesting. And yet they were willing to spend tens of millions of dollars to make peace with Donald Trump so they could get this merger done. That's not a good start for the independence and freedom and work of the CBS newsroom.
And not a good sign for our media ecosystem. We're speaking with Craig Aaron, president and CEO of Free Press and the Free Press Action Fund. We're talking about Trump administration attacks on free speech, the freedom of the press. The phone lines are open, 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. And let's go to John in San Francisco. John, thank you for calling in to Your Calls Media Roundtable.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I got to say, I'm disappointed in myself for being surprised every time this comical evil keeps getting worse. Every time I'm like, oh, my God, that's got to be the worst thing they've ever done. And then the next week, it's worse. And who is going to be the guardian
Relatable.
At the gate? They're cutting their heads off one at a time here, and there pretty shortly aren't going to be anyone. And where is the outrage? Where are the people storming ABC headquarters? And I feel like, you know, people would say, well, it's your job. Why don't you get out there and do that? And I will. Somebody point me in the right direction, because we are losing our democracy in front of our faces. And I feel like the entire nation is a frog that's been boiling to death. That analogy couldn't be, it seems to me, more perfect for what is going on.
Yeah, thank you, John, for calling in and expressing that frustration. Craig, what's your response?
Yeah, Craig, I share the frustration, first of all. I think everybody's feeling that, but I think that's what's giving me hope, is that we're at a moment where there really is a new awakening among the public. Like, because there have been so many bad things, you know, one day you're like, oh my gosh, the vice president is posting a podcast and singling out The Nation magazine, and then Trump's suing the New York Times for $15 billion, and then we get Jimmy Kimmel on top of it all. And I think this is the one, though, that has broken through and has people outraged. My colleagues in Los Angeles yesterday were protesting outside of Disney corporate headquarters, and there were hundreds of people there. One just happened in New York City today, again, outside of Disney headquarters. So people are starting to mobilize and move. Every local television station has been absolutely inundated with phone calls and complaints, and people could do it. We actually built a tool at Free Press, freepress.net, where you can go and it'll connect you directly, find the numbers of your local broadcaster, of your ABC station. That's who you'd be looking at here. There's one in San Francisco. It's owned by Disney. So this is an owned and operated station at ABC. You can call them and let them know how you are outraged as a viewer. That helps. You can watch. This was suggested to me, and I like it or not. Who's advertising on those stations? What do they need to know about what these folks are doing? This is a moment, an inflection point, where we actually can push back. It doesn't make it easy. It's not, you know, it's ridiculous that, right, those of us as individuals have to fight back when these powerful people are running and hiding under the table. But that really is the opportunity. And what I've seen over the last 36 or 48 hours has been an upswell of opposition that I haven't seen on issues like this for a very long time.
Yeah, well, on note, we got an email from Irene, who writes, I sold Disney stock that I bought at Pixar, their IPO in 1995. I canceled my Disney Plus Hulu subscription this morning. Was glad to find a comments box in the cancellation to explain why. We'll miss the entertainment, but free speech more. Didn't watch ABC anyway, except occasionally Kimmel, so nothing to miss there. So people are taking action. It sounds like not subscribing to Disney, not subscribing, not watching ABC. Let's go back to the phone lines. Just a few minutes left here, but I want to see if we can get Jerry in Cupertino on the line here. Jerry, welcome to Your Calls Media Roundtable.
Yes, good morning. I just have a couple of comments, one of which is that the media seems to focus on the one statement in his monologue that, you know, that Kimmel used. They never say or show that previously, the previous week, after the killing of Kirk, he spent quite a bit of time saying this was totally unacceptable.
That's right.
You know, this sort of violence. They never bring that out. And the other is that the statement he made in the monologue, which all of media seems to pick up on, is pretty benign. I mean, it's not terribly bad. What happens, though, is during the monologue, right after he mentions Kirk's killing, he then goes to a clip of Donald Trump talking with a reporter. The reporter says, how are you doing? Are you okay after Kirk's killing? We know he was close to you. And Trump says, I seem to be doing okay. And, oh, look at those trucks. The trucks, they're building the ballroom that, you know, that everybody has been waiting for 150 years. He shows no empathy. He shows, you know, no concern about Kirk's killing. And I think that's what triggered Donald Trump. It's the exposure that says this man really doesn't care. You know, it doesn't interest him at all.
Thanks for that observation. It does feel like there really isn't the empathy, and they're essentially using this what feels like a pretext to shut down critics that they've wanted to shut down for a long time. Greg, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, they were signaling months before when they somehow got CBS to move on Stephen Colbert that Jimmy Kimmel was next. The tweets are out there, right? And so this was absolutely planned. They were actually going to take whatever pretext, it happens to be this tragic pretext, but I completely agree with the caller's analysis that this is all about Donald Trump's ego and all the regulators and people who've essentially sold their souls to work for Donald Trump. They recognize that's when they have to move. I mean, yesterday on Air Force One, some reporters were asking him about this controversy about Jimmy Kimmel, and he just went on a rant about how, you know, the media is 97% against him, and why isn't there a conservative late night host, and we should take away their licenses. These are, you know, literally insane rantings that, you know, any other political figure would be laughed out of the room. But in this Trump administration, they look more like instructions. And that's what Brendan Carr is responding to. And so he pursues it. This has nothing to do ultimately with Charlie Kirk or Jimmy Kimmel. He was commenting on the exploitation of Charlie Kirk's death. That's exactly what's happening here, is it's being exploited in a way that is incredibly dangerous for the future of our media and the future of our democracy.
And Craig, can they pull broadcast licenses? I mean, how far do you think they can try to take this?
I mean, they can certainly try. What they found, though, is the threat alone is enough. So they do this jawboning, which is definitely unconstitutional and illegal. The government is not allowed to punish you for things you say. They're not allowed to threaten to take things away because of words you use. That's not allowed. That's against the First Amendment. This is censorship. But they may try. They may try to go after licenses, because what we're seeing everywhere is they're going to test and push as far as they can, until someone pushes back and says no. The problem with corporate media right now, nobody's pushing back, nobody's saying no, and that's why it falls to the rest of us, and maybe to the courts.
Such an important point. Businesses are free to exercise whatever speech they want, but when government comes in and coerces speech, that's when you run into a constitutional violation. We did get another email comment from Steven, who writes, when the FCC and others come after Kimmel, I'd like to see people bring up the case of Brian Kilmeade of Fox News, who explicitly called for the execution of homeless people. So this is obviously not fairly apportioned here in terms of where they're coming down. It's really targeting the left wing, targeting critics. Well, Craig, we're just about out of time. I just wanted to ask you one last question, which is, what do you recommend people do who are concerned about this, who want to fight this growing threat against news organizations and people speaking out?
Yeah, one, speak out, tell your friends, keep making noise. Two, call these local stations. The local stations, they have these are the public airwaves. You should be calling your local ABC affiliates wherever you are and demanding that they put Jimmy Kimmel back on the air. If you want to do more, you can go after their advertisers. I also urge people, join us at freepress.net. There's going to be ways to get involved, get engaged. There's going to be more protests. There's going to be more noise being made. This is really resonating with people. And so this is an opportunity to talk about the problems of the media in a whole new way and really push back. They overreached here. This is very wrong and very un-American. And I think there's a real opportunity to push back. So I just encourage people, as bad as it feels, this is not the time to lose hope. This is really the time to speak out and push back.
Yeah, thank you so much. Craig Aaron, President and CEO of Free Press and the Free Press Action Fund, devoted to changing media and technology policy, promoting the public interest, and strengthening democracy. Wonderful to have you on to talk about this really precarious moment that we're in.
I always appreciate being with you. I really appreciate the show.
Thank you. And coming up next, we're going to talk about rising unemployment among college graduates. So stay with us. We'll be back just after this short break.